I have asked Dustin to help get our lesson started this morning. So, Dustin?
Sam, lying on his deathbed, pondering the events of his life, his thoughts went to his children, his grandchildren. He thought about his wedding day, 52 years and some months ago, to his beautiful wife, Martha. He pondered that day 3 years ago when the doctors gave him the prognosis. They told him 6 months, but they didn't know Sam. It's 3 years later, but they caught up to him. Now he had just hours, and as he was lost in his thoughts, aroma filled the room, familiar aroma, and he thought, chocolate chip cookies. Martha is making me chocolate chip cookies. She's such a sweet woman. He thought it might be difficult, but he's going to summon his strength, and he's going to walk in there to get one of those cookies. So he struggled, got out of bed, and he limped down the hall. Slowly went to the kitchen and saw Martha with her back turned at the oven. And there on the counter was a plate full of chocolate chip cookies, just cooled. And he reached out to grab one, a tear in his eye. He got wrapped across the knuckles, and Martha said, "Those are for the funeral." That's Larry's joke.
Well, that had absolutely nothing to do with my sermon today. That was an audition because Pat told me that I cannot tell a joke. And so from now on, when I have a joke in my sermon, Dustin's going to get to tell it. Peace. That's a nice word, isn't it? One of those, you know, good feeling, good sounding words. Peace. Kind of like home or mother or happiness. Peace is something that all of us desire. There are different kinds of peace. There's two countries warring against each other, and they come to an understanding and they want to stop the war, and so they sign a peace treaty. That's one kind of peace. Or a mother has had a tough day and the kids have gotten into everything, and she's had to clean up the mess, and finally the kids are in bed and she sits down on the couch, and it's quiet, and all of a sudden she realizes peace and quiet. And then there's the kind of peace where you have a troubled heart. Maybe there are some situations that are going on in your life, and there are a lot of loose ends, and it just seemed like everything's just frazzled and going in a hundred different directions, and all of a sudden things start falling into place, and things begin to clear up, and finally, you get it all settled, and there's peace of mind. You can have a peace of mind. Well, none of that is the peace that I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about a peace that passes all understanding. And we really, only through Christ, Paul said, can we have that kind of peace. I think the closest thing that we have to that in this world today is when we look into the face of a sleeping baby. I've often said, as I see our little things here at church asleep, I've said out loud, I wish I could sleep like that baby. No cares, no problems. But we can't do that. But here is some good news. Paul says we can have that kind of peace. That we can have that kind of peace in our hearts and in our lives that passes all understanding. He says here in Colossians chapter 3, let the peace of Christ rule in you. Let the peace of Christ rule in you. And this kind of peace that we're talking about here is a tranquility of the heart, an inner calm, an undisturbed quality of the soul. And that's the kind of peace that can be yours and can be mine. But now, to get us on the right track to begin with, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, there Paul reminds us, let us pursue the things which make for peace. This is something that we're going to have to look for. This is something we're going to have to strive for. This is something that we're going to have to work at. This is something we are going to have to pursue. It can be ours, but we are going to have to seek to find it. Just like you can close out the sunlight by shutting your blinds, or you can open them and allow the light to come in. We have that choice in our lives to find this kind of peace. And this is exactly what Paul was trying to tell us in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says in verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, watch this now, and the peace, here it is, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds, the key, through Christ. The peace that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ. And so that peace can be ours. I want to find it. I want it. Don't you? Well, let's see if we can't pursue that a little bit then this morning and talk about this peace of Christ. Well, one thing that we notice is that the nature of the peace of Christ. In order to have peace with God, or the kind of peace that God is talking about, it's actually threefold. It's peace with God, it's peace with others, and it's peace with ourselves. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, there Paul again says, having made peace through the blood of the cross of Christ. There is where we find the avenue to this kind of peace. It comes to us with not without great, great cost. Because only can we find this kind of peace through the blood of the cross. Why is that? The reason is because there is enmity between man and God. Enmity means separation. And the cause of that separation is sin. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve sinned against God. And as a result, there was a separation between God. God called it a debt. Man had forfeited his life. And so God's commandment, don't eat of the tree. The day that you do, you'll surely die. And that day, man began to die. Die physically, die spiritually. And so from that time on, until this cross that Paul is talking about here, there was no way to pay the debt. There was no way to close that separation. Now, God made concessions through the offering of the blood of bulls and goats. It would, in obedience, an act of obedience, God would roll the sins of those forward who obeyed him in such a way. But the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, could not take away our sins, could not pay our debt. And so that brings into focus the cross of Jesus. Because on that cross and the shedding of his blood, our debt was paid. And now, through Jesus and through the cross, Paul says, we have access back to God. We have salvation. We have the settlement of our debt. Therefore, we can now be in a relationship with God. Watch this now. Peaceful relationship with God. But then also, we are told that another aspect of this kind of peace is to live in peace with one another. Paul encourages us to do that in a number of passages, but 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 certainly, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, James 3 and verse 18. And Jesus has made that possible because he has broken down the barriers between all mankind. And Paul wrote and said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And there's where that peace can abide. When his peace rules, harmony will exist in his followers. And then finally there is that, and I know this is important to us all, is the inner peace that comes through the removal of guilt and inner confusion and turmoil and sin that has contaminated our lives. In Matthew 11, one of the beautiful passages of Scripture that we find Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. That inner peace is a power that we as Christians can have. That even though the world is falling down around us, we can have a comfort of the soul of the heart and mind that can only come through the inner peace that God has and can give us. Well, then as we pursue this idea of peace, we also see that Paul said that let this peace rule in our Christian hearts. It's really interesting in that this exact word here that's translated rule, this is the only place in all of the New Testament that this exact word is used. Now, some plurals for this word are used in some other passages of Scripture. But that kind of means something to me, that he uses this particular word, which actually means to arbitrate. In a sense that Christians let the peace of Christ be the deciding factor in our lives to control our lives. And that's why it is so exclusive, because I believe the Spirit, through Paul writing here, wanted to make that emphasis, is that we should allow the Lord in our lives to be the deciding factor in what we do. It really is a good idea in everything that we do. To ask, how will the Lord handle this situation? How will the Lord handle this situation at work? How will the Lord handle the problems that I'm having at home as a parent with my children, or as a problems that a spouse might have with one another? How will the Lord handle this problem that exists between brethren? And we see Paul using this exact philosophy on several occasions, but especially when he was writing to the Corinthians. In the First Corinthian letter, we see Paul doing this time and time again, as he calls upon them to have unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, he says. And so when Paul said, let this peace rule in you, let it be this part of God in you be the factor that just helps you to decide on every situation that of turmoil that you face in this world and in the world to come. Christians in Colossae needed to hear this, Paul felt like. And we do too. But then he also talks about unity through Christ's peace. Paul talks here in this passage about unity in the one body. And he's talking about the church. When we I love thinking about the church as being a family. Family, personal family, means so much to me. And you know that. And so I grasp and hold on firmly to the idea of the church being a family. Paul liked to use it, and he uses that idea. He uses it often. He talks about God our Father and each other as our brothers and sisters. But he also uses this concept of the body. And he talks about this, how physical body works together. Now, there are diseases that keep our members of our body from working together, and they're hard diseases. Hard diseases. And they're debilitating. And it's tough to have one of those kind of diseases and go through that. But a healthy body works together. And Paul said that. That's the reason why an eye can't say to the ear, I don't have any need of you, Paul said. Because if you didn't have an ear, how would you hear? If you didn't have a nose, how would you smell, Paul said. And so there's no part of the body that can say to the other one, I don't need you. And with this kind of concept, Paul says here that peace comes when everything works together. When the church works together. When you have elders that love the church and are very concerned about the welfare of the church, when you have deacons that want to serve and want to keep the church strong, and when you've got preachers that want to preach the word and stay with that book and live by that truth, then things work together like God wants it to work. And that's the way that it's supposed to be. And this is exactly what Jesus was trying to pray for in what I really think is the Lord's Prayer, found in John chapter 17, beginning with verse 20, when Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, speaking about the apostles. He's talking about praying for them, but he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also those who will believe on me through their word, that they might all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I give them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. There is the peace of God in our lives. And that peace brings about unity. A unity that calls us to Christ. It calls us in a peace that will dwell in our hearts and in our lives. And we are called through that gospel. We sing the song sometime, ring the message out. And it says that as we ring this message, it calls us in. I know I do a lot of watching cowboy shows. I like Gunsmoke and Zane Grey Theater and I like The Rifleman. And there in North Fork, they have a bell. And this bell is used, they ring it whenever they call them to church. And then if there's an emergency, they ring this bell and ring it out. And that's the thought behind the song we sing. Ring it out. Ring the message out. Because through the gospel, we are called to the peace of God.
That comes about when we are willing to believe His great truths and repent of our sins and confess that He is the Christ and be baptized for the remission of our sins. You know what I'm talking about if you were here last Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night, Kent was baptized. And he made a statement, Jeremy read it to us, about the turmoil that was in his life and the struggles that he had endured. And how that he had searched for a peace. And that he had tried to do it by himself. And he realized that he was not strong enough to do it by himself. And that he wanted to ask God to wash away his sins and to be a part of his life and to give him a strength that he knew he was going to have to be, as he called it, the man that he wanted to be, the Christian man, the Christian father, the Christian husband. And how you could ever listen to a man pour his heart out as that brother did, and not be touched by the power in the gospel. I don't know. And that's what it means. That's what this peace means. And Paul then says, and give thanks to God. Let the thankfulness of God just thank God that you have that hope, that blood shed, that way to this peace. Through Christ we have so many physical blessings, but in Christ we have all spiritual blessings. Through Christ we have many physical blessings, but in Christ we have all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And so with Paul, my admonition to you this morning is, let the peace of Christ dwell in you richly. Will you come while together we stand and sing?